Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
You all look like you survived Thanksgiving. Yeah. So in line with that, today's talk is In All Things Give Thanks. And for those who have been coming for the last few weeks, we've been talking, our talks have been the science behind. So we started out with the science behind stillness, the science behind awakening, and last week was the science behind grace. And even though this talk is called In All Things Give Thanks in honor of Thanksgiving, it almost is like the science behind being thankful. And then for those who are kind of new with us, Unity Metaphysics deals with five different areas: the study of cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. Mysticism being, we know prayer works, but we don't always know exactly how, that kind of thing. So those concepts, it's always good to keep those concepts in mind when you're listening to the talk, to know that it's crossing through those different areas. Okay, and also, those are things you want to kind of remember. You know, somebody says, well, what is Unity Metaphysics? You know, you don't want to go, you know, right? Just want to be able to spit it out. Right? So that's why I mention those things so often, so you'll keep them in mind. So anyway, we're going to talk about this thing about in all things give thanks. And this is sort of a spiritual basic. Being thankful is a spiritual basic. And we always go back to the basics here, okay? Is everybody with me? You know, in all things, you ought to always be thankful. And we're going to talk about the dynamics of those today. And I'm going to use a story that I've used before. I don't remember when I used it before. Some of you might remember it, and some maybe not. But it's talking about this idea of being thankful. So a young man was getting ready to graduate from college. And for many months, he had admired a beautiful red sports car in the dealer's showroom. And knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that's what he wanted for graduation. So as graduation day approached, the young man was, you know, waiting signs to see that his father had purchased that car. And finally, on the morning of the graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was of having such a fine son and told him how much he loved him. That's very important. He handed his son a beautiful wrapped gift box. And curious and somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angry, he rose his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, all you could give me was a Bible," and he stormed out of the house. Well, many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home, beautiful family, but realized that his father was getting old and thought perhaps he should go see him. So he, you know, had not seen him since the day of graduation. And before he could make arrangements, he received a telegram telling him his father had passed away and willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of things. And when he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw the still wrapped Bible just as he had left it years ago. With tears streaming down his eyes, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. He found that his father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7:11. "And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you?" So as he read these words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag from the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he desired, and on the tag was the date of his graduation and the words "paid in full." Okay. So this is an incredible example of what can happen when we fail to give thanks for all blessings and gifts that come into our lives, no matter how small they may appear. That's incredibly important, because usually we're always looking for something bigger. But these small things are always happening, so the idea is always being thankful. And in this story, the young man missed out on really hearing his father share with him how proud he was and how much he loved him, because he was so focused on wanting this red sports car. Right? So the key, you know, it's possible that in our desire for greater good, we forfeit the little things that could really be a blessing and a source of happiness if we would just take the time to acknowledge and appreciate them. You know, it's like, for example, you know, we want a big, beautiful place to worship in. Am I right? Okay. And we've been working on that for a long time. But the thing is, we have to be thankful for where we are right now. Okay. How many people remember when we had a fire in this building and we were running from hotel to hotel trying to find a place, you know? Okay. And again, Carolyn talking with some other church members, and when Carolyn from this church talking, when she goes, boy, you know, we are in really good space compared to what they're going through. So, you know, we've got a school that allows us to come here, and they do something for us that no other, you know, every school has a church in it. But this school does something for us that no other school does, and they gave us a room to store all of our stuff. So we don't have to carry a whole bunch of stuff back and forth. So, you know, those are things to be what? Thankful for, okay? And being thankful is closely related to being mindful, okay? So the definition of mindful is being attentive or being heedful, which means to pay attention and close attention to what is happening in your life. Our spiritual goal is to remain mindful of the power and presence of God in our life, no matter what the circumstances or challenges we may be going through. Okay, so it's not that if something, you know, quote unquote, what you would call bad is happening in your life, you're thankful for that. What you're thankful for is last week's lesson, where we were saying that when stuff is challenging, you're thankful for the fact you've been given the opportunity to practice being spiritually centered. You get it? Okay, so no, you don't want to be thankful, you know, yeah, you can't, it's hard to be thankful for, you know, your car got stolen or, you know, whatever thing happened. But you're thankful for the fact this is opportunity for me to practice remaining spiritually centered, no matter what happens in my life, okay? So, you know, we're to strive to remain mindful that God is ready and available and willing to provide us with divine ideas and divine guidance that will show us how to implement those ideas no matter what is happening. So the part of the thankfulness is that because you are staying spiritually centered, stuff happens, but Spirit is giving you a way to move through that, all right? But if you're so wrapped up in the stuff that happened, you can't hear the ideas that are trying to take you through it. And the key other thing that happens is if you're not remaining spiritually centered, even though you might hear these thoughts come up in your mind, you won't have the courage to do them because you're so wrapped up in what is going on. Is that making sense? Okay. So a scripture verse we have heard many times in past lessons is Matthew 26:41, which tells us that Jesus warned his disciples to watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So we're being warned to watch the nature of our thoughts, being mindful that we do not allow ourselves to be tempted to fall into negative thinking. Now, as we read last week in 1 Corinthians 15:53, Paul said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." So that what that's saying is that, you know, we're saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to remain spiritual. I'm going to remain centered, okay? So you're trying to be incorruptible. But what happens? Stuff happens, and your mind becomes corrupted with that stuff that just happened, okay? So again, so this corruptible must put on incorruption, okay? Now, in Buddhist context, mindfulness means to empty your mind so that it can become filled with the inner knowing of the power and presence of God. So mindfulness is to empty your mind so you become filled with the inner knowing of the power and presence of God. You practice that mindfulness through what we talked about last week, meditation, contemplation, revelation, redemption, grace. All right? And those are stepping stones. So the first thing that because you practice meditation often, you keep your mind centered. That meditation causes you to, when you come out of it, to contemplate that which you were meditating about. And that meditation leads you to revelation. You get what I'm saying? So I want you to understand, this is a process. You know, it's not just I'm going to be. It's that you are practicing steps that put you into that particular mindset. That's the practical. That's why we are called practical Christians. So this is practical Christianity. Practical means you practice these ideas that move you into that space. And if you weren't here last week, I was mentioning where one of our people went to see a neurologist for something she was struggling with. And the neurologist said they had just come back from a medical conference where they learned that meditation actually does calm that nervous system down and put you into a space where you have more ability to function in everyday life. But he was saying that what they learned is that you can't meditate just in the morning and be done with it. You have to meditate all throughout the day. So they said if you meditate 5 to 10 minutes throughout the day, you keep that even keel going. All right? And I know the first thing we'll go is, well, I don't have time for that. But you do. How many times do you find yourself sitting around just daydreaming about nothing? Right? So it's being conscious. And there is an app called YouPray that you can put on your cell phone, and you can set it as a timer, and it'll go off. It's like a singing bowl that'll go off, you know, and then you know it's time to get still. I had that on my phone. Every time I go up, Pam's boss would go, he knew it was time. Yeah. But you know, we can use our technology to help us to remember to do that, okay? So, again, let me say this again. Mindfulness means to empty your mind so it can become filled with the inner knowing of the power and presence of God. Now, corresponding to the idea of mindfulness, we read in the Revealing Word that the word desire is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which ever urges us to forsake earthly things for the express purpose of freeing our minds so that our most dominant thought is the desire to know more about God, okay? That which is of God being divine guides and divine inspiration. So let me say this again. So desire, when the word desire means what? Of God, okay? So desire is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember I've said to you before, when you're asking God, God, please help me, God infinite sea of infinite potentiality, okay? And so when you're really talking to the sea of infinite potentiality, it moves through you like pure liquid pouring into a cookie cutter mold, which is a thought you're holding in your mind. So that's why your mind is called a quantum realm. It takes unformed information and begins to form it according to your thought process. And then it actually expresses itself in your life, okay? So now that's a spiritual explanation, but quantum physics says the exact same thing, all right? So the idea here is that when you're talking to this infinite, actually what happens, it's the Holy Spirit that's responding. The Holy Spirit is God's emissary that comes down and works with you individually on that thing which you're trying to do in your life. Is that, you follow me? Okay, so this idea of being thankful, again, the desire is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which ever urges us to forsake earthly things for the express purpose of freeing our minds so that our most dominant thought is to desire that which is of God. Now, desiring that which is of God is desiring divine guidance and divine inspiration. Is that okay? So because the key here is when stuff is happening in our lives, we're trying to figure out, how am I going to work this out? Okay? Well, if you desire that which is of God, how to work it out will be given to you. And it'll be given to you above your pay grade, meaning above what you would have ever thought about on yourself, by yourself. You know, that's the whole thing. If you're only depending on your own thought process, you're only going to do those things you always do. And we find out when we keep doing what we always do, we keep getting back what we've always gotten. So Spirit will say, I'm going to teach you how to break the cycle and take you to another level. Actually to a level where you'll stop creating that stuff that keeps bothering you in your life. Okay? And then this is not saying we're not supposed to desire material things in our lives, especially those things that are essential to living a comfortable life or that gives us joy. We're not saying that. Okay? What this is saying is that our personal desire for material things is to be subordinated to our spiritual desire for a stronger relationship with the Lord of our being. Okay? Which goes back to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all those things that you want will be given unto you. And they'll be given unto you as divine ideas, as divine guidance. Do this instead of that. Okay? And when you get in touch with it, you'll find that those things that you want will just start unfolding in your life. Because now you're connected to the source from which all things come. Okay? So achieving this goal will help us remain mindful of the truth that God is a source of our supply. God is a source of my supply. Rather than being worried about how we're going to fulfill our wants and needs, we know that God is a source of our supply. Or more specifically, again, God is a source of my supply. Say that with me. God is a source of my supply. Okay? So right now, we mostly operate from a mindset based on material desire, where our whole sense of well-being is based on obtaining the objects of our desire. Well, I'll be happy when. Okay? Like the kid was saying, when I get this red car. Or some of us might be saying, when we retire. Or, you know, whatever it might be, I'll be happy when, okay? And yes, this is mostly unconscious, but it causes us to, listen carefully, attach our sense of I am to outer things, people, and conditions we feel we need to be happy. So when you say I will be happy, your sense of I am, your sense of well-being is attached to that thing you think is going to make you happy. You get it? So, and then from this erroneous perspective, if you do not receive the thing, person, condition, or position you desire, or if you lose what you have, your sense of I am is adversely affected, and you'll feel less than whole, less than complete. Right? You know, oh, I didn't get that thing I wanted, and all of a sudden you fall back to this thing, and you know, but you gave your I am away. You gave your I am to that thing instead of keeping it to yourself. Okay? And one of our greatest downfalls is that we have a great tendency to fantasize about desires for things we do not have the consciousness to bring into fruition. Okay? Actually, we will even fantasize about things for which we do not have a real desire, other than the fact that we see other people possessing it or doing it, so we think, I'll be happy if I could do what they were doing. Right? Like two friends of mine who, you know, they both have successful businesses, but one of them's business is extremely successful, but they're both successful. And one was saying, well, you know, when I see what he's making, it kind of makes me feel a little, you know, out of it, a little small. But you know what I said? That's it. But, you know, you couldn't do what he's doing, and he couldn't do what you're doing. You're both doing what you are born to do. And so really you're wealthy because you're doing what you what? Love. More than anything else in life, money is really irrelevant to the fact that what you do every day, you are doing what you absolutely love doing. Can't wait to get out of bed to go do it. Okay? So a good question to ask yourself honestly could be, do I really know who I am and what I really want in life, or am I just trying to impersonate my surroundings? Keep, what do they call it? Keeping up with the Joneses, right? Okay, so the answer to this question could be a way to begin the shift in our thinking from that which is fantasy to that which has real possibility for becoming a reality according to the nature of our own consciousness. Okay, and it is possible that quite often when we talk about our desires, what we're saying is what we really desire is nothing but a fantasy. And the dictionary says a fantasy is a capricious idea, meaning an idea that is subject to whim or impulse. So typically, a fantasy is a thought that sounds good in the moment, but quite often the person fantasizing does not really believe that what he or she desires is possible for his or her life. You know, and you know, you can detect it in a person by what they're saying. If you hear people constantly talking about what they're going to do or what they want to do, but you never see them doing what's necessary in order to be able to do that, you know, it's just a fantasy. Okay, it's almost like keep it to yourself until you're sure this is what you really want. All right, and go out and explore and do some things. I remember. And Pam and I were back in Detroit, and we were going to open up a first-class vegetarian restaurant. And I was working with some very wealthy people, and so they gave me money and said, we want you to write a business plan. It took me 8 months to write that business plan, working with SCORE and the Small Business Administration and MESBIC, Minority Enterprise Business, you know, small business, all these different groups. And I wrote this incredible business plan. But you know what I learned after that 8 months? I did not want to be in the restaurant business. Yeah. So maybe you need, you know, we need to write a business plan on these things we think we want in life. Right? So, but anyway, you know, we have to develop, we want, the key is if you have not developed that inner connection with Spirit and you're receiving divine ideas from Spirit and divine guidance, you know, then if you haven't made that connection, you usually find yourself running after stuff that's not what you really want. So that's why we say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean that you're just sitting around praying. It means you're in this constant state of being open to receiving divine guidance and divine inspiration and divine ideas and moving forward on those. So the greatest damage done by our fantasies is they often blind us to true blessings that are manifesting right in front of us. Okay? And quite often, these small blessings are God's way of preparing us for greater things that we desire. Okay? So a small blessing comes up, and you take advantage of it. You take full advantage. You feel the guidance. You go with it. You say to yourself, this is not quite what I had in mind, but it's right here, and I feel it. I'm moving with it. And then what that's doing is preparing you, and all of a sudden, the next level of it comes up, and you move into that with divine guidance, and you keep that process up until all of a sudden, one day you wake up, and you're at that space where you have that thing that you truly desire. And see, our problem, this goes back to first force, second force, third force, you know, sort of like the basis of our thinking. First force is I want it. Third force is you received it. But second force is all the stuff you got to go to build a consciousness to be able to hold on to it. Because if you could jump from first force to third force would crush you because you're not in the mindset for it. Okay? So the young man's fanciful desire for happiness via a new sports car blinded him to the wonderful words of love and blessing that were being given to him by his father. He was blinded to a great gift of a Bible with special highlights and healing words that could have been profound, enlightening, and psychologically had a great psychological impact on his life. And he missed all of that. And the son missed out on it because he was blinded by the fact that all he could see was a red sports car. All right? And that sports car basically was his fantasy. His fantasy that kept him from receiving the true gift that was being given to him. So again, the main focus of this story is that it's very important to remain prayerful, watchful, and thankful for the little things that come into our lives. As the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice forever, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And let me say this again. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you are thankful for all things. Okay? Now, prayer and thanksgiving are the way in which to live and breathe and have your being. That's why, again, I've told you the Oprah thing that Pam and I have been doing for years, where every night before we go to bed, we write in our journal all the things that happened that day that we are thankful for. Okay? All the things. It doesn't have to be big, grandiose things. It could be that, you know, your car that doesn't normally start, started. Okay, I mean, it could be little things that you were struggling to get in the door and somebody opened the door for you. So it's, you know, so it's like being conscious all day long of the things that you are thankful for so at night you can actually write those things down. We have stacks of journals, and other people in here I know have told me they have stacks of journals that they've been writing these things for years. And carry that journal on vacation wherever you go so that every night before you go to bed, you can write at least 5 things down that you are thankful for. You see the practice of it? You want to practice the idea of being thankful. And I think I tell you, one of the things that Pam and I are thankful for every day is we make our little meal, you know, pour a little glass of wine, sit down in front of the TV. I know the health food people say don't sit in front of the TV. We don't care about that, right? Sit down in front of the TV, you know, and every time we look at each other and go, we actually love this moment together, you know? And it's conscious all the time, Okay? So, you know, and I heard, a profound bit of philosophy on a TV program, which started to make more sense to me as I was developing this lesson. The philosophical statement was, to fill your mind with desire is to create a consciousness based on illusion. But when you empty yourself of desire, you become filled with the wonder of the universe. And that's why Albert Einstein said he reached a point where he stopped reading and studying, because he was receiving his inspiration straight from the universe, straight from God. He said, I don't have to read and look for it. He said, I'm just connected to the universe. And these incredible ideas I'm coming up with, I know they're coming from spirit. Okay? So if you go back to our opening story, the young man had filled his mind with the fantasy and his happiness at graduation on receiving that car. The fantasy had become so great in his mind that he was blinded to any other gift. I know I've repeated that, but I want that to be something we think about. That don't let this big thing we have in our head, that I'll only be happy when, okay, blind you to all the other small gifts that are constantly being given to you. So operating from that mental state, he could not see the potential in anything else. Okay? So we want to always be open to the fact that we are thankful for what we have right in front of us, the blessing of what we have in front of us, because, you know, there's other things that are unfolding because we are in a state of thankfulness. Right? A lot of people we know are not coming to church because they don't want to sit on metal chairs. You know, but you got to remember, and I'll just listen on the internet, but I'll repeat what Gary said. I can't think of Gary's last name, the drummer we have come here sometime. And he said, yeah, he said, you don't get the organic benefit of listening on the internet as opposed to being in person. When you're listening to a drummer or listening to a speaker, there's an organic vibration that's happening that you can't get off the internet, you know. So, you know, come and be here. And by being here, you know, it just lifts the whole presence of our spiritual organization, and letting the universe know these folks are ready for that new place to appear. All right? So, you know, to try to simplify this, let me just say this. When you mindfully practice a sense of thanksgiving, purely for the inner knowing that God is the one power and one presence, that permeates your life and affairs, and you avail yourself of the infinite potential that God is. Now, let me say that again. When you mindfully practice, you hear the words, right? Practice. When you mindfully practice a sense of thanksgiving, purely from an inner knowing that God is the one true power and one true presence, that permeates your life and affairs, you avail yourself of the infinite potential that God is. So being thankful taps you into that which God is. And that's why Jesus said, you know, I thank you, Father. I always thank you. Okay? So to try to simplify that statement and give it practical application, it simply means that as you focus your awareness on God, you become aware that God is also focusing God's attention on you. Okay? And then you move into this state of holy communion. So holy communion is the act of sharing thoughts and feelings. So when you're in holy communion with Spirit, that's why Jesus said, the Father knows what you want even before you ask. Why? Because if you're holy in holy communion, God is not only listening to you, but you realize that, you know, you're not only trying to listen to God, but you also realize that God is listening to you, feels the vibration of what you want. So it's not what you say you want that's important. It's what the feeling that you have. You know when you can feel what you want? Well, that feeling vibration is what God responds to. When we're just talking off the top of our head, God is going, they're just talking off the top of their head. Right? But when it enters into your feeling nature, that's when Spirit knows this is what you really want. So in holy communion, you become aware of the thoughts of God. And even greater, you become conscious of the fact that God is aware of your thoughts and feelings. And when you reach this incredibly inspiring experience, praise and thanksgiving fill your heart and your mind and your soul like you have never experienced before. And then and only then will you truly understand what Jesus meant when he said, I and the Father are one. And at that point, your desire for God is greater than your desire for anything else in life. So does that make more sense? Because, you know, when you say seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things, you know, we're saying, well, yeah, but, you know, I need money, I need this, I need that. And so it almost doesn't make sense. That's why you hear me go over these same ideas so much, because you have to expand on it to make it really make sense. So now you understand that seek ye first the kingdom of God. You're saying what I'm seeking is divine inspiration, divine guidance, you know, divine ideas. That's what I'm seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is you're learning how to speak, as we said two talks ago. Jesus spoke to us in the language of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and the language of the kingdom of heaven is learning how to speak in the language of that universal, infinite, abundant presence that's always around you. When you can speak in that language, then all of a sudden you find that those things you want are constantly being poured into your life. So when you find yourself going, man, I don't know if this is ever going to happen, that's not the language of the kingdom of heaven. Or you're feeling worried or scared or upset, that's not the language of the kingdom of heaven. The language of the kingdom of heaven knows that this or something better is getting ready to happen. And so it is. Amen. Yeah.